Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, some familiar verses, but a different message. Genesis chapter 6, reading from verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless amongst the people of his time. He walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy them, both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. May the Lord give us understanding of his word this morning. Amen. Obviously geared to Father's Day, and we all had a father. So even if you don't have children, this message is for all of us, amen? It can be applied to any of us, this message. Being a father is not always easy, those that are fathers. More often than not, it's more difficult. And sometimes we have to make some hard decisions to benefit our children and our families, even though it's not always popular. I read a story about a pastor whose son had just got his driver's permit, and he asked his dad if he could use his car. And his dad says, well, I'll make a deal with you. He says, if you bring your grades up and study your Bible a little bit more and have your hair cut, shouldn't be a problem in this weather, just have your hair cut a little bit. And that when we'll negotiate, we'll make a deal about that, see what happens. So after about 6 weeks passed, and contacted his dad again about using his car. He said, Dad, what about that car you promised? He said, well, I never promised. I said, the proviso was that you bring up your grades and you read your Bible a bit more and have your hair cut. He said, you've done the other two, but you've not had your hair cut. He said, well, that's true, Dad. I've been thinking about that. But you know, having been studying the Bible, I've noticed that Samson had long hair. I said, true, that he did. And he says, Moses had long hair too. He said, yeah. Even John the Baptist had long hair, very hairy. It's true. And Jesus probably had long hair too. His dad said, yeah, that's true. But you also notice that they had to walk everywhere. Sonny. Okay. So the Bible is full of examples of fathers. Some good, some not so good. But regardless of whether we or you had a so-called good father, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father is always good. Amen. He's our Father. That's who we need to focus on. And regardless of who the father was, everybody makes mistakes. We have to say, as a whole, they did the best that they could with what they had and the knowledge that they had. Maybe some of them weren't even Christians. And depending on the circumstances of their life and their upbringing, things that happened in their life, you've got to cut them some slack and forgive them regardless. Amen? You really have to forgive them if they hurt you in some way or other. Notice that Noah was a father. He was told to build an ark. It wasn't a ship. It was designed to float. It was a huge box designed to float that would wipe out the whole of humanity off the face of the earth. Why? Because it says there, the earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. So the things that are going on in our society, it's nothing new, because men's hearts haven't changed. Noah was a father. He raised a family in very difficult times, very difficult circumstances. Even more so than now, far worse than it is now. He lived in an age of corruption and wickedness. And he raised his family under those circumstances within that culture that was ungodly. And through it all, his family were saved. There was 8 souls saved on the ark. His 3 sons, his wife, and his sons' wives. It says there, we learn from Scripture that Noah was a just man. A just man. What does that mean? It means if you're just before the Lord, he overlooks our sinful condition. He doesn't see our sin. He sees us in Christ as being perfect. This is called justification, which means just as if we had never sinned. Thank God for the grace of God. It says Noah was perfect in his generation. Does that mean that he didn't make mistakes? That he never messed up? No. Being perfect means not that he'd never sinned. Of course he did, because he was human. And we're all human and we all make mistakes. But God saw him as perfect because of Noah's faith in God. So he was justified by faith in God, believing God's promises. God saw Noah as his child. He'd been adopted into God's family. So have we, if you're a true believer in Jesus. Amen? Why? Because of Noah's faith. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, what's he referring to? The coming flood. Not yet seen. That's what faith is. Believing what you don't see. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is keeping with faith. He was an heir of righteousness. Now, this term explains his relationship between God as his father and him as his child. And because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance that can never perish, passed on to us by our Father. Amen? Have you ever received an inheritance? Are you waiting for an inheritance? I remember when my uncle died. Lived in Australia for years and years and years, and we got an inheritance, and I went and bought my motorcycle, which is now no longer exists. That was the last crash. I used to call it Arthur, because that was his name. Anyway, regardless, anybody still out there? No, one. And I can't imagine it's going to be hard. Just have the air conditioning out there. So the word heirs, not hairs. I remember the guy in one of the Bible classes in when I was in Bible school, he said, heirs and joint heirs. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs is different from heirs. It refers to people who have received their inheritance. We've already received our inheritance because we are children of God. So because we are children of God, we have the legal right to receive our Father's inheritance. Amen? Having received his Son as our Savior, our personal Savior. So as children of God, we are his beneficiaries. Amen? We are his beneficiaries. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to all who did, and there's the question, but to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a legal obligation and it's binding. This contract can never be terminated. We can never perish. Amen? All right, now, it's read there that it says that Noah was righteous, which means he was able to stand sinless before a holy, holy, holy God. He could stand there even as a sinner. He was declared righteous. Noah's righteous standing before God was not earned by him. Our works, our good deeds cannot receive any credit from God. Although doing those things is a good thing, we cannot earn our salvation. It's a free gift from God, freely bestowed upon us by a loving, benevolent Heavenly Father. Amen? It's a gift. So to become heirs means that we have to receive something absolutely free. It's a free gift, but it cost Jesus his life on the cross. Amen? That's what salvation is, a free gift freely bestowed on us by a loving Heavenly Father. Thank God. That's how we receive God's righteousness and a free pardon. You know, if you're under the sentence of death, and regardless of who the governor is, if you're lucky, you don't live down in Texas. Because if you kill somebody down there, they'll kill you. So say you're on death row, and then the governor gives you a free pardon, and then you're free. We're all under the death sentence. We're all under the curse of sin. But through God's grace and believing and receiving his Son, we are forgiven. We've been pardoned. Amen? We've been pardoned from the penalty of our sins, because the wages of sin is death, death penalty. But the free gift is God's grace through Jesus Christ the Lord. Simply by trusting and believing in what Jesus did on that cross. So we could have our sins forgiven. Don't focus on your shortcomings and your sins. Focus on Jesus who has forgiven us of our sins. Noah not only received a full pardon for his sins by God's grace, it said that he walked with God. Did you read that? He walked with God. Even though he lived amongst wicked people in that generation, wicked and violent people, he refused to follow their example. He refused to follow their lifestyle. He was different. The culture that we live in today, it's not as bad as it was back then, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. It hasn't changed much. And most people today, even back then, hearts haven't changed. People do not want God. People do not want God. Amen? It says that there is none righteous, no, not one. But Christ made that sacrifice on the cross. He's not willing that any should perish. He's given people the opportunity to receive him and receive forgiveness of sins. Noah was different. We need to be different men. He wanted to do things God's way. He wanted to walk with God. He wanted to do God's will. And as a father of children living in that ungodly generation, Noah wanted to stand out. He did stand out. He was different. He was a preacher of righteousness. Even though they heard him, they didn't really listen to what he was preaching. They made that choice because of the violence and the wickedness and the corruption of their hearts and lifestyle. He was different. One man, one righteous man amongst thousands, if not millions of people at that time before the flood. He was different. Why? Because God made a difference in his life. He was changed. He was no longer the same. Now, they can call us holy rollers, Bible thumpers, Jesus freaks. Wear that as a badge of honor, okay? Fly your freak flag high. Yes, I am different because Jesus has made me different. I am changed. I'm not the same person that I was before. And he can do the same for you if you receive him as your savior. As fathers, you know, they're supposed to be the spiritual leader in the home. Spiritual leader in the home. But how? Practically, how? There's a few things that we can do. Do what Noah did, number one. Walk with God. Walk with God. Now, when you walk with somebody, it means you're in fellowship. Denise and I went for a hike the other day. And you walk in fellowship together. You're headed in the same direction. Where are we going? Heaven. I hope you are. We're walking in the same direction. Amen. We're walking with God in fellowship together. Walking in God's ways. To follow his lead. What did Jesus say to his disciples, amongst many other things? He said, follow me. Follow me. You know, he died on the cross. So what did Peter and the gang do? They went back fishing. And there Jesus was. They're out in the boat. Jesus was on the shore. He was cooking them breakfast. So, that looks like the Lord. Yeah? He rose again from the dead. And he was there and he says, paraphrase, forget about those fish. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Are you casting your net? Are you casting your net? There's a lot of lost people that we know that are dying in their sins. So we have to walk with God. Amen. That's what Noah did. He walked with God. Also, it's vital for all of us, not just fathers. We need to prioritize our time to be alone with God. You know, we're not too busy to turn off the goggle box. Well, you don't have to turn it off. It's a remote now. Spend some time in prayer with the Lord. Also, to be head of the family, a father should lead by example. And we all make mistakes. We've all said things we shouldn't have said. We may have done things that we regret. I remember spanking my son when he was 28. No. Can't do it now. He'd beat my head in. No, he wouldn't. He loves his daddy. But I spanked him because my beautiful daughter, who was younger, said that Luke did something that he never did, and I believed her. Right? And I spanked him. And the truth came out in the end, and I, you know what? I had to apologize to him. Never be afraid to apologize. If you make a mistake, own up to it. Apologize. And I apologize. That's okay, Dad, no big deal. He was so used to getting spanked, it didn't faze him at all. Let's get this over with. So I can...
My dad said it was, you know, pay it forward. The next time I did something wrong, I'd already get to pay it forward.
Yeah, yeah. But we all make mistakes, even, you know. Let's own up to it. But we need to prioritize our time with God in prayer. We should try to lead by example, even though we all make mistakes. We've said things, and we need to make it a priority to assemble together with the Church of the Living God. I think, thankfully, you're here this morning. That's a priority. We need to do that consistently. And that really proves if we love God or not, doesn't it? When you boil it all down, regardless of what people say, you know, if they're not willing to meet together as the family of the living God, you've got to ask the question, are they truly saved? Are they? Only God knows. Amen? But by their fruits, Jesus said, by their actions, amen, you shall know them by the things that they do. Amen? So if we're commanded to meet together, and I understand, you know, we have to go away. Sometimes we get sick. There's other circumstances that we're not here for a good reason. But if we're not here on a consistent basis, what does that tell you? You tell me. Only God knows. So when we do that, we meet together on a consistent basis, regardless of the circumstances. The children will see that, and our friends will see that, and our relatives will see that. And they will see that we are putting God first in our lives. We are putting Him first as a priority in our lives. It's a witness to others. Regardless of what they do, we are told to meet together on the Lord's Day. Not do what the majority of people do, which is what? Their own thing. Their own thing. To walk with God is to obey God. Right? Once we've got the light, we have to walk in the light. So then we're more responsible. Because we've received the light, we've received the knowledge. Now we have to walk in that light. You are responsible, and I'm responsible. Having prepared this message, it talks to me first before I deliver it to you. But now you're responsible to respond to it because you've received more light. Amen? You've received more light. To walk in the light. So when God came to Noah, he told him to, well, he didn't even tell him. Well, yeah, he did tell him to build an ark, but he didn't tell him why. He told him he's going to destroy everyone on the face of the earth, but he didn't tell him how he was going to do it. Because there had never been a flood before, for a start. Noah didn't even know what rain was. It had never rained before up to this point. There was a different irrigation system that God created when He created the heavens and the earth. It had never rained. But it was going to rain, and it did rain 40 days and 40 nights. Great flood. Now, even though what God told Noah didn't make any sense to him, because he'd never seen any rain. He didn't know what a flood was. God didn't tell him there was going to be a flood. What did he do? By faith, He believed God, even though he had no idea what God was talking about. All he knew that he was told to do it, and he did it. That's obedience, amen? That's what obedience is, doing what you're told to do. And if anyone who's raised children, if you're a good parent, you tell that child to do what it's supposed to do for its own benefit. Don't go on the road or you may get hit by a car. Don't do this, don't do that. And what happens if they don't obey? They suffer the consequences, or they ought to. Not spoil the child. Don't spoil them, because you're going to regret it later on. So even though Noah had no idea what God was talking about, he obeyed. That's faith in action. Faith in action. If it's not faith in action, if faith is not put into action, then it's not true faith. Amen? So let me close. The poor people suffering out there in the heat, and you too probably, under those masks. Let's finish. To be a spiritual leader in the home. Men, women, fathers, mothers, they have to maintain an obedient walk with the Lord. To have any positive influence on other people, especially our children, if you have any. Now, you've heard this verse. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, Proverbs 22:6. And I can't imagine how many preachers out there are going to use this as their heading. Probably thousands of them. It says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Have you heard that verse before? All right. Having read that verse, you need to know that it's just. It is the word of God, yes, but it is just a proverb. Amen? It's a proverb. It's not an absolute certainty, but a probability that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a probability. It's not an absolute certainty. It's a proverb. Understand? So we need to know, the people listening to the sound of my voice, there's probably thousands of people that beat themselves up every day because they think they have failed as parents. They failed. They cry. Their hearts are broken. And they ask the question to themselves, where did I go wrong? Was there something I could have done differently? Is it my fault the way my kids turned out? Now, if you don't have that problem, you should thank God every day. But there are thousands of Christians that beat themselves, Christian parents that beat themselves up every day. And they blame themselves for the way their children may have turned out. They raised their children the best that they could. They raised their children in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. They instilled in them from birth godly principles, the right thing to do. They took them to church when they were young. But that does not guarantee at all that when that child grows up, that they will walk with the Lord. There is no guarantee. whatsoever. Now, one example is Noah's family. Even though he was a righteous man and he walked with God, not all of his sons did the same. You can read that in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 through 25. Ham was one of them. But like Noah, we can't make choices for other people. We can't make choices for our children when they're old enough to make choices for themselves. They may have some knowledge about God. They may know some Bible verses. They've heard it all before. They know right from wrong because we've instilled that in them from birth. That was our responsibility, and that's what we did. But we cannot make them walk with the Lord. That's a choice that they have to make. It's a choice that we have to make. We can't make them love Jesus unless they choose to walk with him. But, so don't beat yourself up. Whoever you are, don't beat yourself up. Regardless, whatever path that they make, people choose to walk the path in their life, it's still important as fathers and as mothers and men and women to show others that we have faith in Christ. It's a genuine faith. And it's very much part of our lives. Regardless of what choices they make, they cannot deny that we have a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a testimony that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. And maybe when they're old, they'll come back to the Lord. We hope and pray that they do. Don't give up praying for them. Amen. God hears us. Don't give up. Never give up praying for them. God can do miracles. He's still the same God. He's in the miracle business. And through our testimony, through our genuine faith in Jesus, which is real, hopefully we can be a positive influence for good in other people's lives. Whether we have children or not, it doesn't make any difference. People will see our faith, our genuine faith. Well, there goes so-and-so. They're off to Coleraine. There they go. They're going to church. There must be something in this. Boy, they do a 100 miles trip every Sunday to go to church. There must be something in this. They may start asking questions. Then it's time to tell them. What difference that Jesus has made in your life? Amen. So, men, fathers, mothers, ladies, gentlemen, may God help us by his grace to be Christ-like examples with all our flaws and imperfections, mistakes that we make. Let's practice what we preach. And be faithful to what we profess. Amen? And by God's grace, which is always available to us, to be obedient to his commandments, just like Noah did, even though others around him didn't. Amen? Amen. Let's have closing a word of prayer. So, Father, we're thankful, so thankful. Words cannot express our gratitude because of your graciousness revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to take this message and make a stand in this wicked and violent generation, to be a positive influence, because you love all those people that have ever been born, and they're ignorant. They're spiritually ignorant. They're deceived by the God of this world. And it's only that you can break the chains of their bondage and receive a pardon for sins and freedom from guilt, shame, and a lost eternity that awaits. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.